Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Got an exciting program for you today. It's going to be centered around the Playmakers' current production of Disgraced, which is a play about an upwardly mobile Pakistani-American lawyer who's achieved success sort of by standing off from his Muslim heritage. But he and his wife host a dinner party. They start talking about politics and religion, and then all of a sudden, it turns into a conversation that raises all kinds of questions and goes to the heart of some of the things that worry us here in America. Now, we're fortunate to have the director of the production, Shishir Kurup, who is the director of the play, and he's brought along two of the important actors. First of all, Rajesh Bose, who will play the role of this conflicted Pakistani successful attorney who's struggling with his Pakistani and Muslim roots. And then his wife, Emily, is played by Nicole Scipione, and she's with us as well. So I'm going to ask Shishir to lead us through this play and introduce the play to us and talk to us about it. Maybe we can persuade you to maybe have your actors do a scene or two for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Be happy to. And also, they'll throw in, I'm sure, to help with the storytelling of it.
Okay, so good.
As we go. But the play, as you've encapsulated it well, and it's a lot of it is about this family, this husband and wife, and then his co-worker,
another lawyer,
and then her curator husband, who, because the character of Emily is an artist and is one of the a crop of new artists that are coming along that are doing things in a different way, pushing against the old guard, the husband of the Rajesh's character, I mean Amir's, he's married to Jory, the other lawyer, and so.
So there are two lawyers.
Right.
One we have with us today, and one's going to be off stage at this point.
Exactly.
But now that lawyer is a female or a male?
It's a female.
A female.
It's a female.
And so it's kind of confusing based on our the roles that we improperly assign to them. She's the lawyer and he's the artist.
Curator.
He's the curator.
He may have been an artist at one point, but he's a curator for a very big, he's for the Whitney. So that's a big museum, a big art museum. And obviously, Emily
is a
real artist and is continuing to make her work and is just starting to get showings in New York and being reviewed by Jerry Saltz and those kind of people.
So it starts out being a very seemingly people having common interest. You got two lawyers who work together,
right.
And then you've got an artist and a curator,
right.
Who would have many things in common.
And what's interesting is that both the lawyers are minorities, and they're in a Jewish law firm. So it's already
right, so
very
you got,
charged.
Yeah,
right,
is the female lawyer who's not with us, mm-hmm. but will be around the table?
Right.
Is she African American, or
yes,
is she? So
yes,
she.
Yes.
So you got an African American, presumably normal, religious, or secular, but nothing special. Then you got the lawyer.
Amir character.
He's Muslim. In background, at least.
In background.
Yeah. Right. So
he would be like a lapsed Catholic.
We understand that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or but who's tugged when the Pope comes? He still gets a little
not really.
Messy. Is
not
that really, really?
Not really at all.
He's
in fact,
completely,
he's the opposite.
He's completely.
Yes.
But
yes.
Hadn't moved to another religion or
no,
way
no,
of.
No. He's in fact, if he was anything, I would think he would be.
I think Amir's an atheist.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about Emily? Where does she? What's her?
What do you think, Emily?
I think that I don't think that Emily was raised in a overtly spiritual or specific religion, but I think that through Amir, through falling in love with her husband, she has been exposed to Islam in a way that has been really impacting for her. And so she's not a Muslim, but
she's not anti-religious.
No. I think she actually has like a really, really deep need and longing to connect in that way, and was never given it.
So Islam, she's a potential. I don't want to say convert is not the right word, but a mover into the tradition for.
Maybe. She's very. It's impacting her whole life, and she wants to be able to share it with her husband.
But particularly as an artist,
it's through the art that. Because that's the filter that she looks at everything through, because she is an artist. But I think it's through falling in love with him that she was exposed to Islamic art and culture, and then it's become far more important to her than. Well, I don't want to use the word important. It's become. It's become central to her, but influential in a way that is creating, that is butted up against or creates a rift in the marriage, because he.
Her interest in his culture creates a rift in their marriage because he's fallen away from it. Is that? Mm-hmm. I mean,
that would be accurate to say. Yes,
he's very aggressively fallen away from it. He wants nothing to do with it. So. I think it irks him.
When you see the play, which we don't want to give away too many things.
No, we're going to give away a lot of it because we want to. I mean, because by giving it away, you get fascinated by it.
Correct,
you want to see it.
No. We'll give away a lot, but we just don't want to give away certain of the big aha and the gaspy moments.
Okay.
In the play.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get there because it's a big aha moment. When I think about the dinner tables that I've sat around, and you know, mostly it's just irrelevant. It's just you know, when you walk away, it's. You learned a few things, but the ones that you remember are where there's conflict that develops, and even if you stifle it, you know that there's some irreconcilable ideas and differences, and to sit in on someone else's conversation like that, and I think that's what you're going to give me the opportunity to do.
It's that eavesdropping, right?
Yeah.
I think later we're going to do a couple of scenes from it. And what's really interesting about those are about how the art is sort of interwoven with the politics in this piece too. So, and race and religion and all of that comes into play, but it's woven in a really interesting and not bang you on the head sort of thing. You know, it sort of like comes through, it filters through, and then it becomes a very powerful conversation between the people. And so who advocates for what is not what you would normally.
What are the issues that will come up? I tell you what, let's talk to us about that, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and maybe hear what it is. But what are the issues that come up to divide these people or to set up conflict? What kinds of issues are they? I mean, we think, is it just being frightened of Islamic terrorism, or is it what are the things that come?
Yeah, I mean, I think Islamophobia is a subject matter that's brought into it, and I think with each of the characters, they represent different things, or they stand for different things, and they have different points of view about it. And so you have a Jewish art curator who is, you know, like most Americans today, sort of somewhere in the not necessarily devout, but, you know, somebody who thinks about and is critical of Israel, but also supports its existence. So there's that there's that going on. You've got a man born a Muslim, but pushing away from it completely, and in fact a critic of the religion that he was raised in. You have a young artist who is being influenced by her husband's religion, and it's changing her way of looking at art, and it's actually one of the ways that she gets known for her art because of it, because, you know, the anomaly of being a young woman, Anglo woman, doing Islamic art. Wow, what is that? Mm-hmm. You know, and then you have a lawyer, the other lawyer, the wife of the curator, who, as a minority, also feels that in this big Jewish law firm, neither one of them are going to become partner.
So there are these Pakistani American and an African American mm-hmm. who are smart enough to get a job in a big, high-powered law firm. But the cultural differences, as much as the partners in that firm would deny it, they think are going to keep them from rising to the level of partner.
Right, right. And I think the thing that we don't want to give away, which when you come to the play, which so that you have a good—
What is it that you're not going to give away?
Well done, sir.
Oh, it's this. Well, oh, here you go. So,
the construction of the play is quite really smart, and it really sets up things against each other, which seem at first to be more confluence rather than, you know, dissonance. You know, so that's what's great, right? You start in this place of like, oh, there's everything is in the world, and we set up the world in a nice way, and then trouble starts. And there's a little bit.
Well, I love this because this is what I would see when I see these four people sitting around the table. This is America of today. Isn't it nice that these four people from diverse backgrounds are so happily together?
But what is nascently living under that, right? I mean, because of the amount of prejudice that is now what they call microaggressions, you know, on some level, right? That exist constantly for them. It's almost like gamma rays that are hitting you. That without mm-hmm. there's nothing overt happening, but there it's getting a radiation from a microwave. You know, it's slowly tearing away at your insides. And that's what the play actually sort of reveals or literally tears open, is that what lives under all of this? Who has privilege? Who is considered American? What is having the way you look have an effect on how you're accepted? You know, so it's a really powerful look at the things we take for granted in who gets to be an American and who doesn't. Mm. Mm-hmm. Visually is like one of the biggest reasons, right? When we think about, I mean, if we walked into a room, if none of us spoke, and if she was Russian and you were Ukrainian, whatever, they will think you're the Americans.
Right.
We may speak perfect English, Rajesh and I, but we would not be considered Americans right off the bat. So before any of us spoke, we would have an accent that went like this or whatever, you know, like that. And you guys would be the perfectly American voices. And that's what also the play upends, because his character is born here. And he says, this is an American. He's not even a Pakistani American because he never grew up there. You know, I mean, he was born and raised. He doesn't know the culture. He has no idea the culture. But he was raised in that culture in this country. And what's amazing about that also, another layer, which we don't even speak about in the play, but my experience, which is very similar to, I think, Ayad's, is that how you're raised in this country because you left your country, there is this thing that I've always called the guilt of the immigrant. Because they got out, and then they're over there in another country, and they freeze Islam, or they freeze Hinduism, or they freeze their religion in the way they understood it back then in their childhood. And so they pass on all of those. So they hold a really tight household. We're living in this country in a funny way, a country where we talk about in the play about you know, how people think about Anglo people. Right, and especially Anglo women or whatever, how they live in the culture's mind, the other culture's mind. Mm, mm. So you're going to Sodom and Gomorrah, but don't become a Gomorrite or a Sodomite or whatever, you know. And so it's you hold on to your culture in such a strong way because there's so many assaults to it on so many microaggressive levels, if you want to use that word, but that. What happens is that you squeeze those children into these corners of like you have to maintain your Indianness or your Muslimness or your Hinduness or whatever, and not become
resist assimilation
on one level, but you can't because when you're a kid you get beat up in school if you're resisting assimilation. So you have to become an American, and then you become the person who translates for your parents. Who calls the bill companies or the phone company. You're 14 years old and you're talking to the bill company because your parents can't communicate as well as you can. So you're stuck between cultures. And I think that's one of the things that happens in this.
Well, we need to take a break.
Okay.
But I have to preach first.
Yes.
In reaction. I'm really sorry. But from the standpoint of a person whose family's been here, for many years.
Mayflower.
Not Mayflower, some bottom of some boat. But but as I look at America and I look at my president, and I think the culture challenges that you describe for an immigrant is gives the people who go through that experience an advantage now in America, in the sense that to negotiate through the diversity, the growing diversity of the American people, you need someone who knows how to deal with this conflicting background and to deal with people who have that background. And if you don't have it, you have a handicap. You're equally handicapped because you don't have the ability to appreciate as well the diverse background and experiences of your fellow Americans now. Having preached, now y'all don't have to agree or disagree because we're going to take a break. When we come back, we want a scene from this great play that is the playmaker's current production, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin, and we're talking about the playmaker's current production, and we're fortunate to have the director of Disgraced, which is the name of it, and it's a Pulitzer Prize-winning, really popular modern show. Shashir Karup is the director, and he's here with two actors, Rajesh Bose and Nicole Scipione. And Shashir, will you take us into the play, and maybe could you get these guys to do a scene for us after you introduce them to us?
Sure. We're going to so Nicole plays Emily, as we've mentioned already, and she's in my mind, she was like
born for the part.
Born for the part, absolutely. Yeah, I think so too. And she's wonderful in the play. I think you should, when you come see it, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. And Rajesh too. I've known Nicole for a long time now, and I've known her work, and so it made a lot of sense, having also worked with her before. So, and Rajesh, I've worked with before also. And he's done a play of mine in the past, and I know his brother very well. His brother is an academic and an artist also, who has put out a book that one of my plays is in, and so we've done things around. So we've known each other for a number of years. So
sounds like a tight little group.
Yeah, it's great, and it's nice. It's people go, oh well, it's all nepotism. And nepotism actually lives in a good way in the world, because you like to work with the people that you are confident in, and every once in a while you have to take lots of chances and bring people in, and your circle gets bigger, you know. But these are two people who are part of my.
How do they fit into the play? Tell us again, for those people who joined us late, the roles that they're playing.
Rajesh plays Amir Kapoor, and that's his name in the play, and you find out later interesting things about that. And he plays a lawyer, a high-powered lawyer in a big New York firm. And he's been a very hard-working, probably the hardest-working person there, but doesn't seem to be moving to the place he wants to, which is to become partner. And Emily plays his very talented painter wife, and she has had a couple of new shows that have been put out there into the world and been reviewed, which is that she's an up-and-coming artist.
So this, would you call this a mixed marriage? This is a marriage between a Pakistani-American
and an Anglo-American, yes, exactly.
And are there dynamics there, or is that just kind of a nice thing that's happening these days?
I think it's a combo, right? There are dynamics there as I was talking about, the radiation of the world, and then in how that affects them, I imagine, on some level. And yet there are the quintessential sort of Upper West Side American couple.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, you're going to let them act.
Yeah.
But let's let them talk a little bit.
Yeah.
You want to ask one? You want me to ask them a question?
I mean, sure. No, whatever you'd like to do, please.
Well, Emily, I'm gonna treat you as Emily. Tell us how you see your character, Emily, that you're playing. From your point of view, who are you in as a character?
I see Emily as she talks about they have a conversation about order versus justice. And I see her as someone who really cares about what's just and what's right, and that's really, really important to her. And so her finding what she thinks is justice is kind of part of her journey. So I think I see as a really important part of Emily. And the art, I think, I've been doing since I was very young. That's always how I expressed.
Well, is your
my story.
Again in character? Is your marriage to your husband an act of rebellion against your Anglo upbringing, or is it something that you fell deeply in love with him, swept off his feet, and are you comfortable in this mixed background marriage?
It's a good question. No, I think I'm deeply in love with him, but I don't know that my parents are, and I don't. I think it's complicated. I don't think it's just because of his race. Although there is some indication in the script of, and versions of the script of when I've like I had at one point a boyfriend who didn't even speak English and only spoke Spanish, and it talks about how my dad was like had you know. Like Amir talks about my father being like, well, you know, you broke him in with that, so he'll be fine now. So I think there's some level of – I don't see Emily's parents as being hostile, but I do not see them as being, the most comfortable. Mm-hmm. There's some level of tension.
And she's still dealing with that.
But I feel like it's mixed in with him in particular too, not just his race, but specific interactions that they've had with him as a.
Well, let's hear
person.
From him about Emir in character.
Sure.
Talk about who you are and.
Emir is, I think, in many ways, what's described as a model minority. In this country.
He's the guy. He would be the guy on the front page or the cover of here's an immigrant or not a guy from an immigrant parent.
Yes.
Who has become wholly American.
Yes. He's whip smart. He's very successful. He makes a lot of money. He's a fantastic lawyer. He can argue anybody into any corner that he wants. And he's very good at it, and he's done it out of sheer hard work. He's so in all the values that I think are ascribed in theory of being an American, of working hard and bringing yourself up, and he's done all that. And so on the surface, and by all appearances, he's a very well put together, very sharp, very friendly, very charming, very successful guy.
Why do you say on the surface?
There's obviously things that are brewing underneath that in the course of the play get explored and come out. But I think in the way of the world, as I imagine, he was probably very charming, for example, to Emily's parents. He probably won them over. Whatever reservations they might have had, I bet Amir...
They're saying he's a nice... Pakistani American.
Yeah, he's such a
and
smart.
And he speaks good English.
And he speaks very good English.
Yeah. Well,
okay. I think the thing about what's brewing underneath is also about access. He feels he doesn't have access, the same access that the people who run the firm have, who are who have the power.
Yeah. Well.
I just wanted to really add, there are multiple versions of the script, but one thing that resonates, I think, for Emily, and it says there's one conversation in a version of the script about why she fell in love with him, and she says he can talk to anyone. And the moment that she falls in love with him is when he explains, like, the financial crash of 2008 to her nephew. In terms that he can understand using his allowance, okay. And just his kindness in that
He's smart.
He's smart and but she talks about kindness, yeah. Like that uh-huh. he can communicate with anyone and make them feel.
Well, we have these two people, and we're going to take another break. And then when we come back, tell us, Shashir, about the scene that you're going to share with us.
Okay.
Just give us a preview, and then details when we come back on the.
We're going to do two scenes today, and one of them is between her and the Emily's character and the curator character, which I'm jumping in for because our good friend Ben Kearns, who's in the show, who does a wonderful job, I'll do a pale imitation, even though I'm dark, that's one, and he can't be here, and when you come see the show, you'll see how wonderful he is. And then the second one will be between Amir and his wife, Emily.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll treat you to some preview selections from the Playmakers' current production, and with the actors and the director sitting in for one of the actors. Yes. Anyway, we're talking about Disgraced. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about the Playmakers' current production called Disgraced, and we have the director, Shashir Karup.
Yeah.
Rajesh Bose. And Nicole Sipioni. Good gosh. And none of these guys, this is a play which has a deep thread about Muslim culture, but none of these guys are Muslim. But they all, well, the two guys have an immigrant background, which puts them in touch with the challenges. Shashir, you're going to introduce one of the and share with us one of the scenes of the play.
Yes, exactly. This is a scene where her husband's co-worker's husband comes over to who's a famous curator for the Whitney Museum, and just to see her work because he has engineered that.
So Emily, who will be is the is the wife of, I guess, the central character.
Amir,
the Pakistani-American.
Lawyer, yeah.
And she's Anglo.
Yes.
The curator is Jewish.
Yes, Anglo and Jewish.
Anglo and Jewish.
Right,
so they
exactly.
share some cultural heritage, but it's mm-hmm. surrounded by this, the surroundings of one of them being married to an African-American and one being married to a Pakistani-American.
Right. And there's also in the play, just to give you, to round it out, a fifth character, and that's the nephew of Amir, who's a young man in his early 20s and sort of caught inside this world. I mean, you know, of like, he's completely American, and yet he's actually from Pakistan. He was 8 years old when he came here, but he does none of that in him anymore. So he's looking for an identity. And
that's
Amir has been his role model for all this time. So, anyway, this is the scene between Emily and Isaac, and I'm standing a pale imitation of our actor Ben Kearns, who's going to be doing it on stage.
Can I get you some coffee, tea?
Sure, coffee would be great.
Milk, sugar.
Black is fine. Constable's great, isn't he?
Love him.
You get up close to the surface of some of these paintings, and it's like looking at a Van Gogh. Only Constable was doing it 50 years earlier. One of the things I love about going to Frieze every year, my little pilgrimage to see the Constable at the Tate. You ever been?
Tate? Yes. Frieze? No, but I'm going this year.
You are?
I am looking forward. I do love London.
So, I spent a fair bit of time thinking about that discussion we had last weekend.
I still think you're wrong.
I think I might be wrong, too.
You read Jerry's review of my last show, didn't you?
Look, I don't always agree with Jerry, but he did say some interesting things. This is the one you wanted me to see?
Here in the apartment, I have more at my studio uptown.
Hmm. I have to admit, I'm compelled. It has presence. The figures emerging from the ground, the surface tending toward the convex. It's a bending of the picture plane, isn't it?
Exactly.
Which is why Jerry mentioned late Bonach in his review.
The mosaics in Andalusia are bending the picture plane 400 years before Bonach. That's what I was saying. The Muslims gave us Aristotle. Without their translations, we wouldn't even have him. I mean, without the Arabs, we wouldn't even have visual perspective.
That's quite a statement.
And I can back it up. What?
I don't know. It's your earnestness, the lack of irony. I mean, it's unusual.
Irony's overrated.
Can't say I disagree with that.
But
you're a white woman.
I am.
Using Islamic form. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to be accused of? Orientalism, right? It's inevitable. I mean, hell, you've even got the brown husband.
F you, I think.
Good. Good. Because that's what they're going to say.
Yeah? Well, we've all gotten way too wrapped up in the optics, the way we talk about things. We've forgotten to look at things for what they really are. When you're in London, after the constables, you need to visit the Victoria and Albert, room 42, the Islamic galleries. It'll change the way you see art.
Is that right?
Isaac, the Islamic tiling tradition is a doorway to the most extraordinary freedom, and which only comes through a kind of profound submission. In my case, it's not submission to Islam, of course, but to the formal language, the repetition, the pattern, and the quiet this work requires of me is extraordinary.
Repetition, obliterating the ego. You sound like a post-war minimalist.
The Islamic tradition's been doing it for 1,000 years. Pardon me for thinking they may have a little bit better of a handle on it. It's time we woke up. Time we stopped paying lip service to Islam and Islamic art. We draw on the Greeks, the Romans. But Islam is part of who we are, too. God forbid anybody try to remind us of that. What?
No, this is good. This is good. You have more of these at your studio?
A lot more.
Is there a place I can grab a bite on the way?
There's a great bodega by my studio.
Change the way I see art, huh?
We'll see.
Well, applause. That's the kind of applause that we expect that the audience will give the Playmakers' current production, Disgraced. We've been privileged to hear a scene from that, led by the director, Shishir Karup.
Karup, yes. Very good.
With the actor Nicole Scipione playing the wife of the Pakistani-American lawyer, Emily. We'll be right back, and maybe we can get them to do another scene for us.
Fantastic.
Welcome back to Who's Talking? This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about the Playmakers' current production, Disgraced. And if you were privileged enough to be with us in the last segment, we had a scene from it. And so I persuaded the director, Shishir Karup, to give us another scene. Give your actors
do us another scene. And this is Nicole Scipione playing Emily and Rajesh Bose playing Amir. And this is a scene where Amir's character is quoted in the New York Times. And a case that involves an imam that is being accused of something. And he just went down there to sort of give some advice. And so that's what the scene is about, and it's the beginning of the play where things start getting a little more fractious.
Okay.
The defendant, Imam Ali Farid, surrounded by a gauntlet of attorneys, struck a defiant tone. He spoke eloquently of the injustices he'd experienced and what he called an unconscionable lack of due process. Amir Kapoor of the New York law firm Leibowitz Bernstein Harris supported the imam, stating, "As far as anybody knows, there isn't a case. And if the Justice Department has one, it's time they started making it. I don't think you look like counsel for the defense.
That's because you know I'm not.
It's because it doesn't say you are.
The defendant, surrounded by a gauntlet of attorneys, struck a defiant tone, and then she quotes an attorney. Me, implying that I'm one of the gauntlet of attorneys. She doesn't quote another attorney.
But she says you're just supporting him.
I don't see a just. There is no just supporting him.
It's implied.
I think it reads very clearly that I was supporting his defiant tone, that I was supporting him being defiant.
Isn't he justified?
That's not my point, Em.
Maybe it should be.
The man's basically an alleged terrorist.
Even if it does make you
so
look like...
So it does?
I don't think it does, but even if it does, why is that a bad thing? What you did is right.
It's just...
You're standing up for due process.
Don't you think people are gonna think...
What?
I mean, I guess they'll look at the name, and if they know anything at all, they'll know the name isn't Muslim.
Amir. What's going on?
I clearly said I was not counsel for the defendant. Why did they have to mention the firm?
Baby. You did the right thing. I'm so proud of you. And so was Abe. And you'll see, Mort's going to be proud of you,
Mort
too.
Mort is not the one I'm worried about.
This is going to be good for you at work.
Good for me.
Look at Goldman Sachs. Jamie, he took all that philanthropy so seriously.
What does your douchebag banker ex-boyfriend have to do with this?
Isn't that how it works? Isn't that how all you guys cover up the fact that all anybody cares about in your world is making money?
Supported the imam.
Honey, stop it. You're overthinking this?
Let me get this straight. Some waiter is a dick to me in a restaurant, and you want to make a painting. But if it's something that might actually affect my livelihood, you don't even want to believe there could be a problem.
What does one thing have to do with the other?
Ding
dong. That's Isaac.
Right.
Well, I mean, he's here.
Okay.
Do you want to keep talking about this?
No, I don't.
Honey, this is a big deal for me. I have a studio visit with a curator from the Whitney.
And who do you think made that happen?
Really?
I gotta go.
Wow. Where are we in the play?
The scene you first heard actually comes right after this scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, he is just, this is the second scene in the play, and it's where he has just found out that, you know, there's this paper.
Well, go back to the beginning, mm-hmm. For people who might have turned in late.
Mm-hmm.
And so this wonderfully complex and familiar scene between married people,
yes.
Is in the context that I'd like for you to explain a little bit more about where Amir, who's so worried about really doing a good thing, representing
mm-hmm.
Somebody who needs some help. But where do you see this puts him?
Yeah, that's interesting, right? It's how he's viewed based upon who he represents. So, and as seen, even though he's an American through and through, he is always looked at as a Pakistani American or a Muslim American. And no matter what his religious affiliation is or not, it doesn't matter, you know. So, especially with the name, and so if you you notice his last name is Kapoor, and that's and so that plays into the play in how that is. He even takes on what we would call a Hindu name, you know, rather than a Muslim name at the end. So that's a part of what happens in the play, too. You hear about it. So he's, in a way, assimilating in the way he knows how to, which is, if you're from India, which is part of where he is from, and partly Pakistan, is that it's safer in this country to have a Hindu name at the end rather mm-hmm. than a Muslim name.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, right there tells you a lot about what the waters of this play. What are we wading into, you know? And at the beginning of the play, things are, you know, quite... they have a wonderful life in the Upper West Side. They have, wealth. They have... she's an artist. It's a perfect marriage right now, you know?
Well, I can't wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see the play. I thank all three of you for coming and sharing, introducing the play and sharing parts of it with us. Already challenging some of my presuppositions about where I live and what I do. So it's going to be great for those of us who live in Chapel Hill who have a mixed look at things to have you bring us this conflict from New York.
Thank you, DG, for having us on the show.
And thanks all y'all for listening. This is DG Martin, who's talking. I'll be back here before you know it.